from Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this sixth day of September 2024. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance. And tonight, we have as our producer none other than Johnny.
Hey, Pastor Ernie, great to be here.
It's good to have you here. I got a bunch of people here in the studio. It's not because they've got no place else to go, right?
Right.
We're going to get down to some important conversation here tonight. So you heard the cackle. That's Studio Marm. That's little Lisa.
Good evening, everyone.
There's always a cackle, but never any eggs, right? Then we have Pastor Walter Moss with us. And, boy, there's some big things coming up here.
Amen.
And we're going to be talking about that here in a minute.
Thank you, Pastor Ernie. Good to be here again.
And then we have my long-time pal, Associate Pastor Richard Lewis.
Welcome, everybody. Glad to be here.
All righty. So we're going to start in our scripture tonight from over in Leviticus chapter 20, verses 1 through 5. And so, Richard, would you want to read verses 1 through 5?
Sure, be glad to. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Again thou shalt say to the children of Israel, Whosoever he be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that giveth any of his seed to Moloch, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones, and I will set my face against that man, and I will cut him off from among his people, because he hath given his seed unto Molech, to defile my sanctuary and to profane my holy name. And if the people of the land do any ways hide their eyes from that the man, when he giveth his seed unto Molech, and kill him not, then I will set my face against that man and against his family, and I will cut him off and all that go a-whoring after him to commit whoredom with Molech from among their people.
Well, now, let's take a look at this here, because does God change his mind on things?
God is the same
today, tomorrow, yeah.
Yesterday, yes. Today, and tomorrow.
Okay,
forever. Yes, he is. Amen. Yes.
And that's for real, right? So now here, yes. What we just saw during the Democratic Communist Party convention, where they were giving their seed to Kamala Harris, who's running as their leader. They were promoting child sacrifice. They were literally sacrificing these children to what they call their reproductive rights, their freedom. That's their God there, okay? Why is it that these people don't understand how evil this is? I don't know. And people are amazed out there today. I know I've mentioned this many, many times, but I think we have John McTernan joining us now, okay? Big John, are you there?
I'm here, Pastor Ernie.
Alrighty. Here in the studio, I got a studio. I've got Pastor Lewis, Pastor Moss, and what's her name again?
Ho-ho.
Yeah, Ho-ho.
No, I know. It's Lisa.
Already
hi,
here.
John.
But anyhow, we're reading from Leviticus chapter 20, verses 1 through 5, John. And we're talking about sacrificing the children to Moloch. And we were talking about how that's exactly what they did at the Democratic Communist Party convention. They sacrificed their children to Kamala Harris. And again, saying that it's the reproductive freedom is what they call it. God calls it murder. God calls it murder.
Okay? Yes.
And so why is it these people, how could they become so reprobate, so ungodly, so evil? It's just an amazing thing. So tell us, John.
Well, Pastor, the Bible warns about the deceitfulness of sin. So it didn't start off like that. There was a process to it, and then they develop what's called a reprobate mind. And you'll see that reprobate mind in Romans chapter 1. So they have it's a process. They've turned against God. And they get worse and worse and worse till finally they can do anything, Pastor. They become hardened in their hearts and their minds become reprobate.
You mentioned Romans chapter 1. I'm going to be preaching a message. I thought after all these years I've preached on about everything, but here I'm going to be preaching a message on having the knowledge of the uncrowd, okay? And what I'm talking about is, you know, you have some bad uns, and you have some good uns. Okay?
All right.
And here in Galatians 2 it's and Jude 1, they talk about the unawares. In Luke chapter 12, they talk about unbelievers. In Romans 1, they talk about the unclean. And of course, Proverbs 24 talks about the unfaithful and the ungodly and the unholy. But then there's good uns, too, and I'm going to be hitting on some of those. So come Sunday, there's some good ones out there. But here in Romans, when you were talking about the reprobate, it says they're unclean. They're unclean. And then in Jeremiah chapter 2 verse 34, it says that those women, who their skirts are filled with the blood of the innocent. Their skirts are filled, and here he tells them, you don't even have to say anything, okay? I don't have to look upon your hearts. Your own mouths, your own conversation has condemned you. And do you know what their response was? Their response was, we didn't do anything wrong. We were allowed to do it. We only did what we were allowed to do.
Right, okay. Right.
Does that sound familiar?
Yes.
They try and justify what they're doing, like on the legal system, the court system.
Right.
Well, you know, you think about that now. What was the process they used to crucify Jesus? It was lawfare. That's what it was. It was lawfare. They used the lawyers and the judges, okay? And what did they do? They corrupted the law. Boy, are we seeing that here today? I mean, have you ever seen such a time when in this country where the law has been so corrupted?
Yeah, they've weaponized it, Pastor Ernie. They've instead of having a law system based on, there's a word that I'm stumbling over, I can't think of. They have used it, twisted it, added things to it, and set it up so it's only a one-way street. So only people that don't line up with them will they use the law against, and others, they'll let it go.
Right. So what they do is they pick and choose who they will prosecute. So virtually they only look what Biden had done, okay, with those documents that he had when he was a senator, when he wasn't allowed to have it, okay, was 10 times worse than what Trump did. Trump was authorized. He was the president. But what Biden did was 10 times worse, and yet they said, well, we really can't prosecute him because he's kind of old and decrepit, right?
Well, look what they did with Hillary.
He said he couldn't really, the jury would never convict him because he's basically full of dementia.
You know, at the same time they were saying that, they were also saying, remember, this is before they threw him under the bus. Well, he's those in the fake news media were saying, well, he's as sharp as a tack, right? So they were giving us two stories. But you mentioned
That's
Hillary.
Why the FBI would not turn over that audio of the special, not the special prosecutor. I think he was the, for the...
No, he was a special. He was appointed a special prosecutor.
He was. He was a special prosecutor.
Yeah.
That's why they wouldn't turn it over, because it was so people could see how full of dementia, and Biden wasn't able to think.
Yeah, he was speaking off script too, and so without his, you know, being told what to say. And so, but now here Richard mentioned, and I've never seen such an abuse outright in your face. Look what we can do, as they what they did with Hillary.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, taking a hammer and smashing the phones up, okay, acid bathing the hard drives. How many emails did she delete?
Deleted,
like
shredded.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like, I'm Hillary. The law doesn't apply to me now. What did Comey say? Comey says, "Well, do you remember what he said?"
Yeah, Pastor Ernie, let me explain that. You know, my background, I was a federal agent. And we, as a federal agent, we investigate crimes. And it's called the element of the crime. So it'll say what you have to prove to show that that crime, that law was broken. So what I do is when I've completed the investigation, I go to the U.S. attorney and I say, basically, I tell him that this is the law we investigated being broken, and the law, these acts broke it. And it's up to the U.S. attorney to determine whether they'll prosecute or not. Not me. Comey, when he did that with Hillary, he said, well, we're not going to refer it because no U.S. attorney would prosecute it. That is completely, the U.S. attorney, if I did that, the U.S. attorney's office would go crazy. You can't do that. You've got to present it, and the U.S. attorney makes the decision. Comey absolutely turned the legal system upside down when he said that they would never prosecute Hillary. He's supposed to present it to the U.S. attorney's office, so they make the decision. So the fix was in.
And all of those were little kites to see how far they could get along, and what they could do with Biden and then with Kamala, yet with Trump, they're just the opposite.
Well, you know, you say, well, why such an allegiance to Hillary? Well, there's a couple things there. Anyone who has, you might say, disappointed Hillary has ended up at room temperature, right? I mean, over 100 people. That's an incentive right there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, but the Clintons, remember the FBI files, 10,000 mm-hmm. files of people that ended up missing?
Yeah, those boys that were killed on the tracks.
Yeah, okay.
And everything else. So.
Yeah, I had their parents on the program, yeah, their mothers, and it just, but I mean, all of the dead bodies, Vince Foster, all the way down the line. But here again, you know, what is it that she has on so many people that they're so afraid of her? Okay, now let's move from there, because what is it? Why are they absolutely paranoid? Look, John, I mean, you'd have to be a real, well, pretty oblivious and gullible not to know that attempt on President Trump's life was a coordinated effort by the intelligence agencies. I mean, it was so bad. I mean, it was well planned, but they blew things out. They moved too quickly, kind of panicked, try to destroy the evidence too quickly, gave themselves away. What do you think?
Every stage of it, Pastor Ernie. They did everything to set it up so that shooter could take President Trump out. But the thing is, Pastor Ernie, you've got the Secret Service role in it. So they set Trump up like a pigeon, just like they did John Kennedy. Same thing, Pastor Ernie, with John Kennedy. When he was assassinated, the Secret Service was deep into it. But who arranged it for the shooter, for the assassin to be there? That wasn't the Secret Service. That was the FBI or the CIA. I can't imagine. I don't know who else could have done it, but it had to be one of those two agencies to get him there, that he was trained, that he would go along with it, and all of that. So it has to be outside the Secret Service. They just provided the opportunity, but someone got the shooter there to fire the gun to kill President Trump.
So where, now after this happened, right away, they tried, they cleaned up, got rid of all the evidence where the shooter was, right?
That's correct.
Now, the next thing they did with the shooter is they had him cremated right away, got rid of him. They went to his house. His house was, there was nothing left. There was not even any trash in any of the waste baskets. They cleaned the house up, got rid of everything in the house. To me, that's a tad bit obvious to who was behind all of this. And so, anyhow, this is what we're up against now. The reason they're trying to kill the president, and I believe they're going to try to kill him again. Okay, but it looks like he's got God on his side.
Amen.
And they might even get to start realizing that. What do you think, John?
Oh, Pastor Ernie, like even today now, that judge from New York,
Chunkin.
I can't pronounce their names. Him and the other judge. There was the two of them. Remember?
Let me see. Yeah, I'm trying. Actually, there were three that involved in that whole thing, and I'm trying to remember their names too. But anyhow, what about them?
They have very odd names. Yeah, like even today, he had to postpone it till after the election. Their plan, if things are going good for them, he'd bring Trump in on the 18th, like it was scheduled, and probably assign him to home arrest. But they could also put him in jail. But anything to get him off of the campaign trail. But they couldn't do it. She's so terrible, and he's like surging. He's surging. He's got the Supreme Court decision behind him. That Supreme Court decision was absolutely fantastic. So he can't do it, but he wants to do it, Pastor Ernie. You could see where God is protecting Trump all the way, even
Amen.
To the point of the assassination. He was protected.
Amen.
All right, here's what the Gateway Pundit writes against Chunkin, about Chunkin and what she said. Here, because she's very upset because she wanted to continue the trial. President Trump and Special Counsel Jack Smith presented opposing arguments for how the January 6th case will proceed in a joint status report filed last Friday night ahead of the Thursday status conference. Last Tuesday, Jack Smith indicted President Trump again in Washington, D.C., following the Supreme Court's rulings on the presidential immunity. First of all, There's a couple problems with that because Jack Smith is not. They've already ruled, and even the Supreme Court says he doesn't have the authority. He's not a real prosecutor, okay?
Yeah, what happened, Pastor Ernie, was the Congress has to set up the Justice Department. The Justice Department can't go out and hire, like they call them, officers like that, like him. You just can't do it. You have to get permission from Congress to do it and permission for his salary from Congress. And Garland just took Jack Smith like off the street and said, here, you're a special prosecutor. That is not according to the law. Well, actually, it's beyond the law. It's the Constitution. Mm-hmm. So this here is all in Trump's favor because everything he did was illegal. In fact, Trump filed 100 million dollar lawsuit against the Justice Department and for using Jack Smith against him. So now, even though that has been the Supreme Court decision, Smith had redid the indictment to try and make it look like Trump did it privately, not according to the government. All right, Trump said that what he did was under the color of his job as president. So they rewrote the indictment to try and show it's not part of Trump's under his job as the president. And Smith did it while the court says the Supreme Court said, like, he's in there illegal, Pastor Ernie. He did it anyways.
I know. He's still there. He's still doing it, even after the court says he's got no authority.
Right.
And so... Now this Judge Chunkin, she's really upset with the Supreme Court. She was unprepared. Judge Chunkin was unprepared, smug, and kind of lensing during Thursday's hearing, according to Julie Kelly, who attended the status conference. Judge Chunkin said that the upcoming election is not relevant. And now the charge in her court is that Trump interfered with an election. Trump was the president of the United States. His job was to do exactly what he did. He knew that the election fraud was there. And so this, you know, we do not have a legitimate government. They're as illegitimate as can be. They are completely corrupt. Merrick Garland is the most corrupt attorney general this country has ever seen, by far. Now, let's go to... why they are so paranoid, why they want to kill Trump. What is it that they're so afraid of? And I'm talking about Merrick Garland. We know what Hillary said. Hillary said, if Trump gets reelected, we're all going to hang, okay? What do you think she meant by that, John?
Well, Trump will use, I guess he can't do it right away, Pastor Ernie. He can't use the Justice Department because he has to get the criminal element out of it. Also, the military courts, he'd have to make sure that woke element is out of it. But he can use the legitimate court system against what they've done to get him for treason and probably a whole bunch of other crimes.
Well, it's a, it's just absolutely unbelievable where we're at today in this country. So, while you were saying that, I kind of lost attention because Chunkin, as she was said consistently, since the case landed in her docket, emotionally emphasized that the presidential election will not affect her scheduling order, which she will file later today. And she was extremely upset with the Supreme Court, and she said they were wrong. The Supreme Court were out of order to rule that Trump had presidential immunity. I mean, who in the world does she think she is?
And if the Supreme Court ruled, that's the end of it. Where does she get off saying she's going to, challenge the Supreme Court?
Well, she's got Jack Smith, whose fantasy is that he's a special prosecutor, even though he's not, okay?
Well, she's got a fantasy, too, going against the Supreme Court.
So now these people, you have a very severe case of Trump, derangement syndrome here. I mean, this is a very severe case. And I believe they're going to go after him again and again. And they're paranoid.
Yes.
And
well,
so
they're running out of time, Pastor Ernie. So there's only, 60 days till the election, so they have to pull some things off to stop the election or block him.
Well, here's what they're doing, John. Garland has been hiring thousands of new lawyers. new lawyers. Now, what they're trying to do is they're trying to say that constitutionally they can make their positions permanent positions where Trump cannot fire them once he gets into office. Now, of course, you know, it's not constitutional what they're doing, but of course they don't, you know, why would the Constitution, why would that bother them? And so the idea was if they get all these new lawyers in permanent positions, then they can stop and block everything that Trump does. You know, they can virtually render him ineffective totally. And that's what their latest strategy is.
Yeah, what they'll do then is they'll use the bureaucracy, the entrenched bureaucracy against the power of the president. That's what they're going to – it'll be like a kind of a civil war within the bureaucracy against the president.
All righty. We're coming up to a break. What we're going to do is switch over, and we're going to listen to this clip. And then when after that, it's about what we talked about. We're going to be talking with Pastor Walter Moss about You're Invited to Founders Salute. This is a big pro-life event here in Ohio, which we really need you. So go ahead, Johnny, and take it away.
I do want to start with, if I can, does everybody remember that President Trump was shot in the head? It seems like it didn't happen. It seems like the mainstream media just glossed over it. Now they're like, whatever. So thankfully, we have guys like Corey Mills leading out an investigation on the assassination of a former president who's running for the presidency of the United States, a guy who was hit in the head with a bullet. And I still don't have any more answers from the United States Congress committee that was stood up on this. But thankfully, Corey's running his own investigation. Can you give us a background on what you've been doing and what the results are and what headwinds you're running into?
Yeah, absolutely. And Cash, you're exactly right. Look how quickly they glanced over in mainstream media an attempted assassination of the Republican nominee and the former president of the United States of America. I mean, it's as if it had never taken place. And meanwhile, you had a commission which was stood up by Speaker Johnson, which I'll be completely honest, had nothing to do with meritocracy and everything to do with trying to cover the multiple parts of the conference to ensure everyone feels equally represented within the conference, as opposed to saying, we're not looking at trying to just do a kumbaya moment. We're trying to get facts here. And so that's why myself and Congressman Eli Crane out of Arizona, we started running our own parallel investigation. And in that independent forum, we brought in great members like Andy Biggs and Chip Roy and Matt Gaetz. And we were able to start bringing witnesses to start getting to the point to include whistleblower Ben Schaefer, who was actually one of the counter snipers on the ground July 13th there in Butler, PA. So what we're understanding is this. We know that, and Cash, I'm going to go ahead and say the obvious. If this was a real investigation, it would have happened on July 14th. Mm-hmm. You'd have immediately subpoenaed the security plan, the comms plan. You'd have started bringing people in for independent questioning. You'd have done corroborations of what fact fiction boards that we could put in place. And we'd have started to determine pure and simple, was this gross criminal negligence or was this purposeful intent? Now, here's the problem when you've waited this long. They've had enough time in the federal government. We know. Go back to FISA and how it was abused 287,000 plus times by the FBI. Go to the Department of Injustice, where it's been weaponized to a point where it's after, you know, your political opponent not trying to find truth and justice. We know that the federal government at this point has probably gone back and memorialized documents to say July 9, July 10, July 11 to try and act as if they've dotted the I's and crossed the T's. But what we have found is this. We know that they were offered compatible comms plan and a compatible radio by the local law enforcement, and Secret Service denied it. We know that local law enforcement offered a surveillance drone and drone capabilities for the day of the actual rally, and the Secret Service denied it. We know that there was a final day of planning that was supposed to happen in the morning of July 13th, and the Secret Service didn't come. We know that after the shooting that taken place by Thomas Crooks, that you had people on the stage who didn't even know what the security plan was, because you can hear them going, what are we doing? What are we doing? What are we doing? That should have been an automatic prep and training to say, we know the motorcade is our rolling safe room, or that we already have a safe room that we're moving them to in the event of an accident or some type of an incident. So none of this has been done.
Sorry, I hate to interrupt.
Please.
Can I just jump in real quick? I just learned more And you're my buddy. I just learned more about what happened at the attempted assassination attempt of Donald Trump in the last 60 seconds than I have in the last 45 days from the United States Congress and the committee they stood up. So, Corey, thank you for breaking that down.
He should have been listening to this program because we we put a lot of stuff out there. Now, John, here's the interesting thing. Let me just ask you this very quickly. It wasn't you saw the new administrator for the Secret Service get up there, and he's the guy. He was the guy that pulled the original officers off, sent them over there with Joe Biden's wife, and replaced them. And they replaced these people that weren't even Secret Service agents. They were Homeland Security people. They had no training at all in protecting the president, right?
That's absolutely correct, Mr. Ernie. And Biden's wife is not like a priority there because she wasn't out in the open like Trump was. And you didn't need the massive amount of agents you would need to cover Trump at that event. So that was bogus.
With that new Secret Service chief, he was trying to take credit about our guys, you know, took out crooks, but it wasn't. It was actually the sheriff's, the sheriff's sniper who hit Crooks's rifle. And what happened there?
Yeah, well, he hit it up near Crooks' cheek, like, hit the rifle, and it blew the stock apart and blew into his face. So it, like, disabled him right then and there. It was the locals that stopped the assassination, stopped him from shooting.
Well, now the Secret Service saw that he was neutralized there, but they didn't want to leave him around to talk, did they?
No. So the shooter, the Secret Service agent, and I think he had a clear shot, because they were remarking what a fantastic shot this was. When Crooks was hit on the side there of his face with that the other sniper, it exposed him. He probably jerked up, rolled over into a position where he was more open, and then the Secret Service agent took him out.
Well, now, in those cases, wouldn't they have wanted to capture him alive since he was neutralized? But then again, maybe they didn't want him around to talk, did they?
Well, the way we look at this, Pastor Ernie, the Secret Service did everything to give this guy an open shot from that location. Someone had to bring him there. You know, someone had to tie him and bring him in, which was, I believe, from the FBI or the CIA. They don't want him to say anything that would implicate them. But they're saying now, Pastor Ernie, the FBI says that he had five encrypted accounts tied up with European sources. Have you picked up on that, Pastor Ernie?
Yeah, I have. And then why?
What did the FBI say about that?
Well, they knew all about these encrypted, said they couldn't break his code.
That's what they said. The FBI couldn't break the code of some 20-year-old college student. And how in the world could they break the encrypted code of Chinese and Russian and other spies? A 20-year-old college student, and he had five encrypted accounts. The FBI said that they couldn't break it. Now, Pastor Ernie, come on. It shows you. I mean, this is in the realm that – how could they even say such a thing? But they had to give some reason why they couldn't tell us about those codes.
Could you imagine being in the room listening to these guys when they come up with these stories as they're sitting there? I mean, they got to be laughing to themselves. I mean, and it's like saying, look, the American public, they got short memories, and they'll believe it. We say it over and over and over, and they'll finally believe it. And that's what they have the fake news media there for. So anyhow, we're going to shove gears.
The media should have exposed that to the public and said, come on, what are you kidding? Oh, but the media, what the media does, it reports it and drops it. They give it a little coverage and drop it.
Well, you had those CIA informants working right there with PMSNBC. They're on there. They're contributors. You know, it's a CIA-run station. So
you're absolutely right. It's like a revolving door. They retire or leave the CIA, and they go to those news sources.
We're going to switch gears here because we have what is sitting right here in front of me, Pastor Walter Moss. And you know what? He's the president of Pro-Life Action, you know, of Ohio here. And he is going to be telling you about the Founders Salute. So tell him, Walter.
All right. Well, thank you. God bless you, everybody. And I want you to know you're invited to our Founders Salute for the Right to Life Action Coalition of Ohio. We want to honor our founders, 10 people, 9 people, many of you. There were even people before. I know, Pastor Ernie, you were doing some things here in Cleveland even before we started the organization. But we want to take a time out to formally say thank you to some of our founders for this organization. That will be on September the 14th at Villa Manano Event Center in Columbus, Ohio. And the doors will open at 6 and dinner will be at 6. It's business casual attire. And I tell you, we're going to have a great time. It's going to be like a family reunion. And we just want to celebrate, Pastor Ernie. You know, a lot of people in Ohio, we were kind of down because of the issue one. But I tell you, the fight is not over. We still got to fight. And that's why we're doing this. That's why we're celebrating, because of every day we work to save babies in the womb. Just because that issue passed for the pro-aborts, but every day we got to continue to work this. And so I want you to know that their tickets are going, but we want you to be a part of this celebration. And we're going to use it. We're using it also as a fundraiser. We want to provide educational outreach, legislative engagement. We need to update our website. And you know what? We want to put in some safe haven baby boxes throughout the state of Ohio and through our districts throughout Ohio at fire stations. And it works. So, ladies and gentlemen, I want to invite you. And if you haven't got your ticket, if you want to get a ticket, you can get onto our website at rtlaohio.org, rtlaohio.org, or you can contact me at 330-309-2900, 330-309-2900, Pastor Walt Moss, and I'll get you connected. But please remember that September the 14th, come and celebrate with us, celebrate life.
Absolutely. Proverbs 24, verses 10, 11, and 12, it says, the rescued those being led to slaughter and drawn to death. And if you would say, well, you know, I didn't know what they were doing. God says, oh, no, you did know, okay? And so on that day when we stand before the Lord, because he tells us to be doers of the word, not just hearers only.
Amen.
And that day, just think about this. If you're standing before the Lord, and he says, what were you doing? What were you doing when they were killing my babies?
Mm.
The only acceptable answer is everything I could to stop it. That's the only acceptable answer, folks, out there. This is America's national sin.
Yes.
You have to understand. I mean, see, well, you might say, yeah, well, you know, that's, personally, I'm against it, but I'm not going to judge other people. Well, you better, because God's word, the Bible says, if you're a Christian, we're to judge everything.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
And also, let me tell you something. You better think about this. And you say, well, even if you don't believe it, you will. If it matters to God, it better matter to you, folks.
Amen.
Out there. Listen to me,
Amen.
What I'm telling you. We're seeing everything that God said would happen. When he told Daniel to seal up the book, okay, until the time of the end, and all of the things that were in there, we're seeing happening, being unsealed right now.
That's right.
Being unsealed right now. So, folks, let me tell you, the sewers in America from coast to coast have run red with the blood of innocent babies.
Yes.
Remember, Abel's blood cried out to God, and Abel's blood condemned Cain. Folks, let me tell you, we just read to you out of Leviticus there where he was talking about, he tells you that if you even knew that there were people that were offering up their children, if you failed to stop the people from doing that, then you too, okay, would be cut off, right?
Yes.
God said, don't let me down. Don't fail me with sins of omission here, right?
Yeah.
Right now, today in America, they're offering up their children to Kamalik. To Kamalik. This wicked woman, I mean, this woman is wicked as wicked gets. The Bible says she's unclean.
Jesus.
And all of those folks out there, the pro-death, all of those women are unclean. God's word, the Bible says, when you kill your child, then that you have murdered, you have, first of all, you've transgressed God's dominion. Mm-hmm. In other words, you've broken into God's house. Not a good idea, right?
That's right. Right.
You've transgressed his dominion. You've taken from him what belongs to him. And here's what God says. When you've done that, then you are blood guilty, and you need to forfeit your life. Mm-hmm. Now, you better think about it, because you're not taking it serious. You say, well, God hasn't dealt with me yet. Yet, right? Pay attention. We're here, yes, to listen. We're trying to tell you, you better listen.
And so, Pastor Moss's book is so revealing, too. He breaks it down. It's a well-written book. It's precise, and you can read it at one sitting. It's a short book, but it really covers all the points here.
Oh, and, yeah.
It really, really should be read, and he has that available. All you need to do is call his number, and he'll get those out.
Oh, yeah, and text me, 330-309-2900. Last time I was on here, I had about 16 people all over the country text me, and I sent books out here in Ohio and all around the country. And one thing, Pastor Ernie, I wanted to share, I'm having an opportunity to have this book printed in Cuba.
Wow.
In Cuba. Yeah. I'm working on that project right now. Because when I was in Cuba, I've been to Cuba 30 times, 35 times. I haven't been there for 10 years. And so we've had ministry there. And there's an opportunity to just open up that I can get it printed in Spanish right in Cuba. And so please pray for me about that. But those of you that are listening, if you want this book, While I'm a Black Pro-Life Pastor, text me at 330-309-2900.
Say that a little slower. Say it a little slower.
Amen. 330-309-2900. And Pastor Ernie, you told me at the beginning here when we were talking about President Trump's stance on abortion amendment, that amendment in Florida, and he did come out and said he would not vote for it. He's voting against it. And also, I know a lot of pro-lifers are concerned about his stance on abortion. And I really, really do believe that he is pro-life. But I think politically he's getting some bad advice from some people, because as you know, Pastor Ernie, we don't believe in any exceptions.
We take the same position right here,
yes,
in God's Word, the Bible, and God's Word, the Bible says without exception.
That's right.
Abortion is murder. Period.
It's murder.
And we don't, you know, the health of the mother or any of these other things, yeah, rape or incest, you know, especially when you talk about rape, the chances are like 0.1%,
yes,
okay?
Yes.
Of conceiving when they get raped. But here's the thing. You remember, you've heard of a fellow named Frank O'Harris, right?
Yes.
Okay, he was a product of rape. You've heard of a woman named Ethel Waters, haven't you?
Yes.
She was a product of rape. So let me ask you this. Now, to see if this makes sense, it only makes sense to ungodly people, to wicked people, to unclean people. Here you have a man. He commits a crime. Okay, the woman is the victim of his crime. So what do? You take a third party and punish the third party, right, for the crime.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens when they kill a baby that's conceived in rape.
Basically, yes, what they're doing. Yeah.
Now, I mean, everything about liberalism, or the entire Democratic Communist Party, they've gone completely, contrary to everything that God's Word, the Bible, teaches. I mean, there is like a criminal insanity there,
right?
It wasn't too long ago they had Peterson, I think his name was, that was convicted of two murders because he killed his pregnant wife.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, that's here in Ohio.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, it's obvious that that's a real person inside the woman.
Well, unless she has four arms, four legs, four eyes, and four ears, that's an individual person, right?
But we know what's behind it. We know it's the devil.
Absolutely.
We know it's the devil wanting to kill, steal, and destroy. But thank God for the Right to Life Action Coalition of Ohio. We have no exceptions. We're going to stand with that baby. The baby is a baby is a baby when it's conceived, and God is the one that gave that life. Pastor Ernie, when I got saved, when I really realized I was called to preach, I got saved at 6 years old, but it was around 20 years old. I was at Ohio University playing football, and I realized that I was called to preach. And I said this, Pastor Ernie, I said, God called me to preach when I was 20. And then God said, no, he reproved me. He said, I called you when you was in your mother's womb.
That's what he said to Jeremiah.
Amen.
Jeremiah 1:5.
He said he
ordained him. All right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Right from the mother's womb. Absolutely.
And so if you want my book, 330-309-2900, text me. 330-309-2900. We'll send it to you for free. We just want to get it out there and stand up for these babies. And again, come and be with us at the Founders Salute September 14th in Columbus, Ohio. You can text me for that information also, and or you can look at rtlaohio.org. But we want to celebrate life. We want to celebrate life. God has not called us to sin, but he's called us to be about life. And so on the 14th of September, we want to celebrate life right here in Ohio.
Absolutely. You know, John, what they did here in Ohio, with this issue one, they confused the people.
Yes.
They had the people thinking it was exactly the opposite of really what it was. And it was unbelievable how that took place, the corruption that we have to right here in Ohio. You know, I just did that radio program about a week ago with Jerome Corsi, and he was talking about they have found it, or what has taken place with these
aneurysms.
And they trace that back to, like, the CIA, intelligence agencies.
Right.
They know that's behind it now, okay? And so we really have a battle. We really have a battle.
Yes.
We're up against the forces. This is hardcore forces of darkness.
Yes, yes.
But people ought to know, too, you know, when God's Word, the Bible, God has given us, when he gave us the divine institution, John, you know, of human government there, in Genesis chapter 9, during the Noahic covenant, that's where we got the divine institution of human government. He made 5 points very clear in that, without a stutter. And the first point was to whom it was given. He tells you that in Genesis chapter 9, verses 9 and 10, verse 12 and verse 15 and 16. To all mankind, from perpetual generations, to all living beings. And that covenant actually spanned all the dispensation periods. But the second point was the intent. In verses 1 through 4, the intent was that man was to govern for God. Man was to govern for God.
Yes.
The third, now this is the most important point. This is the most important point. The entire purpose of divine human government was to preserve the image of God, that being man, verses chapter 9, 5 through 7. That's where you got the statute of the death penalty. For those, okay, that transgress that, and those that defy God's image, destroy God's image, have to forfeit their own lives, okay? Mm-hmm. And so, and then points 4 and 5 was the, point 4 was the means, God's law, that man was to govern for God. He was to use God's laws, God's statutes, God's ordinance, God's covenants, God's promises. And then the fifth point was all nations and all people that were in compliance with the first four would be at peace, not at war with God. Mm-hmm. And you don't see too many nations at peace with God today, do you, I'm afraid?
No, but, Pastor Mini, it's that one way or another, they're at real variance with God and his word.
Amen, that's right.
And so, But we have our marching orders. The one thing that God commanded more than anything else from Genesis to Revelation was obedience.
Amen.
Obedience. That's the one thing more than anything else, obedience. And that's what we have to do. We have to run to this battle.
Amen.
And it's just an amazing thing for the left out there. You know, and here's the other thing, you know, you would think that these people would understand this, especially the apostate preachers that have some. But he tells you right in Scripture that a wise man always turns to his right. If you go to Ecclesiastes, verse 10, and read verse 2. Richard, would you do that? Read Ecclesiastes 10.
Amen.
He tells you that the wise man always turns to his right, but a fool will turn to the left. He's telling you this.
Mm.
Then here in Matthew chapter 25, remember Obama had the religious coalition of the religious left, Matthew 26 coalition? Do you have that verse there, Richard?
Ecclesiastes 2:10.
Yeah, no, 10-2.
10-2,
yes.
I reversed it.
Okay. He had.
Okay, 10-2, it says, a wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart at his left.
And so, and then we see in Matthew 25 where he says, those on the right will inherit the kingdom of God. Those on the left will be bound and thrown into the lake of fire, okay?
My, my, my.
And, I mean, so here he's telling you this. Now, when Jesus was talking about the cross, he says, the man on his right, Jesus said, you will be with me in paradise today, this day. The one on his left didn't fare so good, okay? Right. You would think they would understand this, right?
Yeah.
That they don't seem to understand that. I don't know. It's an amazing thing how, you know, these people will stand against God. But in their own mind, they have their own perception of their own God. It's a different Jesus.
Right, right.
A different God. One who is non-judgmental. I actually had a woman tell me that. She came into our church and she told me that her God, her Jesus, was non-judgmental and was tolerant. She was very tolerant for people's faults and people's sins. And I said, well, you know, that God that you just mentioned, he exists in your mind, okay? The one you're going to be standing before when it comes to sin, okay? Okay. There's no one that is less tolerant than God, than the Lord Jesus. And so, anyhow, that's what's happening there. Walter, give that again for your book, Why I Am a Black Pro-Life Pastor.
Yes, Why I'm a Black Pro-Life Pastor. My number is 330-309-2900, 330-309-2900. Text me. I'll send it to you. But please, all those of you here in Ohio, come and celebrate with us on September 14th at Villa Milano Event Center in Columbus. We're going to have a great time. We're going to have a family reunion. We're going to celebrate our founders for the Right to Life Action Coalition of Ohio. Amen. We need you to register at rtlaohio.org, rtlaohio.org, or text me at 330-309-2900.
You know, Walter, I wanted to say something here. There's going to be a lady there at this who I've known for 50 years who was with us from the very first start when we started Ohio Right to Life. And This lady, I tell you, I think she's put me to shame as far as being in the pro-life. And I thought I was a hard worker, but that's Linda Tyes.
Oh, yes.
Linda is a true lady. A true lady.
And she's still working it today, Pastor.
Yeah, I know it. And
she's the president of our education arm of this organization.
Yeah, and she, again, it goes back in between you and me, on that original board, I can't remember how many people were there. It was quite a few. I think we're the only ones left. I think that I don't know.
Well, there's Ed Sitter.
I don't think he was on the original.
Original,
board.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm talking about.
You're going back.
Yeah. All the way back.
Well,
like,
Molly Smith.
Molly wasn't there
she
either.
Wasn't the original.
No,
uh-uh.
No.
Okay.
But Molly was the Calvary, you see. For years and years, I was the only daily pro-life voice in Ohio.
Amen. Okay? Amen. And thank you.
And that for many years. And then Molly came along. Molly was the Calvary. She,
amen.
And she came in. And when she did it, I mean, she took it a step further.
Amen.
She took it to another level, the pro-life act. She did it. Molly was a very, Molly's a real lady, too. And she has, she's really knows what she's doing. And in fact, I tell you, I was getting letters from these nutcases out there that were saying that Molly had to be my wife because she came out, you know, when we switched, before we switched times, I think I came on before her, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that she had that this Molly woman has to be his wife because the pro-deathers, nobody else could be as crazy pro-life as Sanders is what they were saying.
Mm.
We were up against the moveon.org nutcases. We're trying to take us down, but we're still here, you know.
Amen. Amen.
All this time. We're coming up to a break, and then when we come back, we're going to play a clip, too, because, folks, do you ever feel that there's someone who's tried to take away your rights and your freedoms, okay? Well, there is. They're called Democrats, and they're trying to, they want to silence us. And Kamalik out there says that the government should be in charge of regulating all radio programs like this one, okay? They should be able to regulate our free speech. Doesn't sound like the First Amendment to me, does it? All right, so we're coming up to the break. When we come back, there's a whole lot more to come. Don't go away. Because McTernan's going to say something that's just, well, I can't tell you. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.